Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. This week, we examine the recent decision by Texas Education Agency Commissioner Robert Scott postponing requirements that the result of the new STAR test count toward 15% of some high school students' final grade.
They wanted the opportunity to see the impact in terms of passing standards and share information about what things look like, and this one year should give them that opportunity.
And the Lions take New York, what it's like to perform at world-famous Carnegie Hall.
It's definitely a culture shock.
It's quite daunting to think you'll actually stand on the same stage that, like, Leonard Bernstein and Tchaikovsky had stood on.
They say, you know, what do you do? I'm a student. They're like, oh, why are you here? I said, I'm playing in Carnegie Hall tomorrow. And they're like, wow. And I get a little applause,
in
the street. It's really cool.
Those topics are coming up after we check out the week's headlines. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Programming support on KETR is provided by the Duncan Insurance Agency, offering the Good Hands Coverage Checkup from Allstate, local offices on Main Street in Commerce, and Westside Square in Cooper. More at 903-886-2183 or duncaninsuranceagency.com.
And welcome back to The Lead. It's time to check out the headlines from Northeast Texas this week. The Gulf Coast leg of TransCanada's Keystone XL pipeline could be in operation by mid-2013. The company said this week they're moving forward with construction of the pipeline from Cushing, Oklahoma to Port Arthur, Texas, which does not require presidential approval because it does not cross a U.S. border. TransCanada is also reapplying for the larger Keystone project. The Dodge Caravan sought by Fannin County authorities after its use in a January triple homicide has been recovered at a Durant motel. Thomas Taunton remains in custody for the alleged shooting deaths of 73-year-old Harold Harps, his 79-year-old wife Sue, and their 48-year-old daughter Regina Taunton. Interim maps were approved Tuesday to get Texas through the 2012 election cycle, and it will still include a majority of the same counties for Northeast Texas. That includes the areas represented by Congressman Ralph Hall, State Senator Bob Dole, and State Representative Dan Flynn. Meanwhile, a deadline looms for candidates to file for the May 29th primary elections after the three-judge panel in San Antonio ordered the elections to proceed on that date. The final day to file is next Friday, March 9th. Citizens will receive voter registration cards sometime after April 25th. A 20-year prison sentence has been handed down as part of a plea deal in a 2010 murder out of Lamar County. Don Bradley Taylor Jr. is said to have shot Dustin Glenn Shelton following an argument. A jury found Taylor guilty Tuesday. Bradley Keith Nix has pleaded guilty to both evading arrest and possession of a controlled substance after leading authorities on a high-speed chase 2 years ago. Nix of Roy City allegedly stole a vehicle and attempted to flee officers until his vehicle became stuck in a pasture. He was given 10 years behind bars. The Fannin County inmate who escaped custody only to be captured a few days later has been given 25 years behind bars. Jimmy Lee Brock pleaded guilty Thursday to multiple charges, including escape. He was initially in custody on animal cruelty charges and then stole a county's employee's vehicle while on work detail last month. Three victims tell Commerce Police they were robbed in the area of Elm and Britton Streets Tuesday evening. The suspect were described as black males who were wearing black pants and black hooded jackets. The victims were on their way to the Rail Bar. An investigation is underway. A 78-unit senior residential complex proposed for Traders Road in Greenville has received tentative approval. While the council did support the development plan for the property, they did not vote on the estimated $9 million cost. They'll again address the issue during their March 12th meeting. Two more candidates have filed for the Commerce City Council. Emma Martin has been a teacher in the area for nearly 40 years, while Steve Harrison most recently served as the city's assistant police chief until his resignation last November. Both have filed for Council Place 2. Filing for municipal elections, which are scheduled for May 12th, continue through Monday. A Greenville attorney says a ruling concerning who is allowed to issue rulings in their litigation with L3 Communications could take months. The two sides met in a Dallas courtroom this week after the city appealed that District Judge Richard A. Beacom's decision that he has the authority to issue rulings. The city claims this is a municipal government issue and Beacom does not have that authority. Two cameras recently installed to monitor the Delta County Courthouse remain covered amid what has become a hot-button topic there. The cameras also monitor the county jail. Tax assessor-collector Don Stewart and treasurer Bonnie Hobbs say commissioners need to revisit the issue when they meet March 12th. Public hearings were held this week at Texas A&M University Commerce regarding a proposed increase in designated tuition for the next academic year. The range of increase being considered is from $0 to $10 per semester credit hour. An actual increase will be dependent on A&M System Board of Region approval. And recent rains have helped the city of Greenville downgrade its water conservation plan to Stage 1, which calls for a voluntary reduction in water use. The city had been in Stage 2 since January 20th, and had previously been at Stage 3 of the Water Conservation Plan since last October. Some of the news there making headlines this week throughout our Northeast Texas region. Coming up next, a conversation with Sandy Maddox and Jan Moberly with the Region 10 Education Service Center. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Coming up on Wednesday night, it's the return of the Grin and Bear It Show, featuring the thrilling conclusion of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds.
Those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars.
Fire!
A hit, sir. We got the tripod of one of them. The others are trying to repair it.
Green flash. They're spraying us with flame. 2,000 feet.
Hear the conclusion of The War of the Worlds, Wednesday night at 7 on KETR.
Hi, I'm Rick Howard.
And I'm Stan the Man Kratchman.
Your host for Big Band Stage Door Canteen.
Inviting you to join us each week for the finest big band music with notable artists such as Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, Michael Bublé, Helen Forrest, and much, much more.
So join us for Big Band Stage Door Canteen each Monday night at 11 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. Joining me now by phone, a couple of individuals with Region 10, the Education Service Center based in Richardson, which covers eight counties here in our North and Northeast Texas region. Sandy Maddox is the Deputy Executive Director for Region 10, and Jan Moberly is the Director of Instruction for the region. Thank you so much for joining us today, and good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good morning.
We wanted to talk about the recent decision by Robert Scott, the head of the Texas Education Agency, signing an order to postpone until 2012-2013 a school requirement that the state of Texas of academic readiness results count toward 15% of final grades of some high school students and core subjects. This is the STAR exam that is replacing the tax exam this year. And first of all, there seemed to be a large number of school officials concerned kind of over the first year STAR tests affecting students' grades this year. Was it a concern of Region 10 and why? And Jan, I'll direct this question to you.
Well, many of the concerns were not so much related to how well the students did on the exam, although since it is a new test, there are a lot of unknowns associated with it, and we predict it to be more rigorous and higher level. But the whole idea of applying the results as 15% of the final grade, that brought forth several issues. One, they won't get the results back until the first week of June, and how does that affect graduation when you're applying the 15%? Secondly, everyone. We don't have one single district that really runs a one-year program. They apply credits for first semester and credits for second semester. So if once you've given credit on the first semester, you cannot legally go back and deny credit. So what does that mean then if you're trying to apply 15% to the second semester only? About the only way you could do it would be to apply it as 30%. And then does it have an inordinate impact because it was done that way? The third is that most districts have student management systems that take care of their transcripting. And what would transcripts look like? Would it have a grade for the first semester, a grade for the second semester, and then a final grade? Or would you just wait on your transcripts until you could apply the 15% somehow to the second semester? So transcripting was huge. Then finally, the issue of class rank, especially for graduation, with that very late incoming data, valedictorian, top 10%, very high stakes kinds of things, and overall GPA. And the law does not stipulate that that 15% had to be counted for GPA in class rank, but the agency had said you need to show a relationship. So all of those were really procedural types of issues that were playing havoc with the district's ability to apply that this very first year without getting some clear guidance. The biggest part, though, even beyond that, was all they're getting are raw scores. So if they get a raw score that says they got 36 out of 42 correct, what are they going to average? Normally you would think, okay, well, we'll divide 42 into 36 and we'll get a percent. But in order to actually meet the standard, they might only have to get 40, 45% of the items correct. So you would might be in the position of saying, well, they passed, but we're averaging a 32. And the agency was not could not see their way clear under their guidance and their legal opinions they had gotten to providing any kind of conversion scale this first year where a district would even know what score to average. And so every district was looking at a different way to average scores. So all of those things were brought forth by the superintendents and parents and districts until it sort of came to a head and the commissioner thought, you know, best defer for 1 year.
Okay, so it sounds like some school districts are going to need to at least think about making some changes in the way they strategize in utilizing this test when it does become effective on grades next year then.
They will spend this year. First thing they're going to do is the passing standards will be available by waiting 1 year, and that's going to be a big advantage. And very few, if any, of the superintendents are 100% against the fact that the end of course counts in terms of students' grades because it does increase a student's desire to do well, especially in those last couple of years of high school. It's just that they wanted the opportunity to see the impact in terms of passing standards and share information about what things look like, and this 1 year should give them that opportunity.
I know the students, the instructors obviously have been prepped on what this test will entail and the differences from the TACS. Could you maybe speak to some of the parents that are trying to maybe get a grasp on the new STAR exam and how it differs from past TACS exams?
Well, one of the main ways that it differs is that in all grades, not just high school, but starting in grade three up, it's really more of an end of the year or end of course test. In some subjects and grades, TACS might have covered competencies students may have learned in several grades. For instance, fifth grade science would have covered some competencies and concepts studied in third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade. And so sort of pulling those most important ones. Now we're really looking at almost the full breadth of the curriculum for fifth grade. So more standards, but more of a grade level look. And then as we've looked at some of the released items and what the agency has told us, there are four or five things that we know about the test. We know that the academic vocabulary appears to be from the released items to be higher than what it was on TACS, which had more simplified vocabulary, questions that are two or even three-step questions as opposed to more one-step question on TACS, that would have the effect of increasing the rigor or the difficulty.
more visuals, such as graphic organizers, maps, photos, those types of things to interpret, and in some cases, putting two or three of those together so that the student would have to determine which thing they need to decipher in order to answer the question, or maybe how to put information together from two or three different ones in order to answer the question. And one of the main things which we did not have on tax is the questions, many of the questions, will be what we call bundled. So they will assess a concept or a piece of content of importance and a skill. So the skill might be compare and contrast. The content might be significant individuals in American history. Well, previously they just had to identify those individuals, but if you bundle that content with the skill of compare and contrast, do you see how the question itself would become more rigorous or more difficult because now they're comparing and contrasting at least two significant individuals? So those are just a few of the things that we know. We also know that there is a cumulative at high school where student scores on end of course will accumulate over time, and there will be a magic number, if you would, that they would have to acquire over at least three of the assessments, whatever assessments go with the courses they take. And if they don't get that cumulative score, they will have to continue to retest in order to graduate.
A listener can picture that a student might actually do okay on the first end of course in mathematics that the student takes. But when they look at cumulative scores at the end of having taken, let's say, two more end of course in mathematics or three, then is their cumulative score high enough? Because whether we really want to talk about this or not, it's often that Algebra 1 might be the easiest of the courses to have passed. And if you got a score that's not so great there, you actually have to make a decision, or the student does, or his parents, has to make a decision whether, even though the student passed, that they have passed with enough of a score that if they don't do well then, let's say on geometry, that they're still going to pass, because it would obviously not be a great thing to have to go back and take the Algebra 1 test a year or two after you've already had the course and go back and retake it to increase the score. It'd be better to take it when you felt like your score was not high enough to be worthy of that cumulative score. You'd like to take it right then.
Okay.
This whole process is also going to do some things toward instruction in the classroom, because when Jan was sitting there and she was talking about using two or three sources in order to answer questions, then that's going to become more of a practice in teaching in the classrooms, that when the teacher is teaching some concept and the students are learning it, that information is coming in from a variety of sources, and that students learn how to combine several sources, similar to the way we used to do research papers, is to have to pull the information in and summarize it in a more concise way.
Mm-hmm. Sandy Maddox is the Deputy Executive Director for Region 10. Jan Moberly, the Director of Instruction for the Education Service Center, which serves eight area counties here in our region. What was the overall feeling, I guess, among Region 10, among schools in your region, about how these students were going to be able to react to this test? What was the feeling going into this first year here?
Well, I have been around for CABS and TEAMS and TOS and TACS and now STAR. And I can say in every single instance, there's always great trepidation when a new assessment system comes in, because every time we say, well, it's going to be more rigorous, or we're going to ratchet up, it's not a minimum competency. But one of the things I think that really parents should understand is that these cut points for what is considered passing are not going to be set up where you would normally think, oh, if my child gets a 75, they've passed. The cut points will likely be set for the first 3 years very low, giving teachers, districts, and students an ability to work their way up. So as I said before, they might pass by only getting 40% of the items right, and that might be in place for a couple of years, and then it gradually might move up. So that really eases their trepidation to know that there will be some kind of phase-in of a passing standard for students.
And then the more they see the style of the test, the length of the passages, the complexity of the graphics, the more that trepidation will decline. It's just the fear of the unknown at this particular point. But the agency is doing a good job of looking at not punishing students just because there's something new. There are a lot of different safeguards in place to keep that from happening.
Can both of you speak to some of the reports I've seen of some teachers who've maybe expressed concerns over a lack of available preparation materials going into this test?
We do know a lot more about the new test now in the last few months, and certainly we did last year, because we have some released items now and we have some frameworks. So districts and we at the service center have done a reasonably good job of getting things into the hands of teachers that should make them feel more comfortable. I think there is still the feeling that if we gave students some worksheets and they had precisely sample items on that, that that would solve the problem. And in most cases, this simply isn't true with these kinds of newer tests that we have at the state level. The situation is that we have to prepare for whatever is in our set of knowledge and essential knowledge and skills, and teach it very thoroughly and review often and have a spiral curriculum, meaning that you teach and then you come back to that same material and build on it, then students should do well. And I think there is anxiety. I guess I compare it to a little bit like a medical test that you've never had before and all your friends have told you it's awful and you anticipate it really being terrible. But when you have it, it's not as bad as what you dreaded, because your dread was almost always worse than that. And I think that's just human nature and what we're seeing a little bit of.
Okay. Well, we're approaching spring break for schools here. When will they start to administer the STAR exam?
Well, there are several different points. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but the writing will come first because those have to be hand-scored by professionals, and so those will come in March. And then the biggest portion of the test will be that last week of April, first part of May. That's why the scores come back so late. You can't call it an end-of-year or end-of-course test if you're taking it in February or March. Mm-hmm. So they have to have had an opportunity to get through all of the curriculum standards that are going to be tested. That will happen, that crossover of late April, early May, and then those results will come back the first week of June. And then there are some opportunities for retesting once the results come back, but most of that's more in the next couple of months, probably at least almost 6 weeks after spring break.
Well, we're running out of time, but I do appreciate both of you joining me and talking about STAR exam and its first year being implemented in schools. But, of course, it will not count toward 15% of the final grades of some high school students in core subjects until next year due to the signed order by Commissioner Robert Scott just recently. Jan Moberly and Sandy Maddox with the Region 10 Education Service Center, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we have our Friday feature for you. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
All things considered from NPR News is like a high-powered telescope. Every afternoon, we zoom in on what's important around the world. Then, through a clear lens, we apply the correct amount of magnification and focus on the facts to cast the stories of the day in just the proper light. I'm Melissa Block. Join us for All Things Considered from NPR News and illuminate your world. This afternoon, beginning at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
This is Sherry Gardner. Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. For musicians, the idea of performing at world-famous Carnegie Hall is, in most cases, just a thought, a fantasy to others. But for the music students of the Texas A&M University Commerce Chorale and Wind Ensemble, the dream became reality this past Tuesday. Here are some of the sounds from their trip to New York City.
This is Lions Take New York. We're broadcasting live from the offices of Distinguished Concerts International New York, and this is your station, 88.9 KETR.
We strive to put all parts of our university out on the national platform, and this is one way I think that we can promote A&M Commerce is by putting the music department out on a national stage.
From the very beginning when they told us, you know, this was a possibility, that was just so exciting. And then we were kind of like, well, you know, is this going to happen? So there was that level of excitement. And then there was the excitement of starting last fall semester working on the music that we're going to be performing here. And so that added a new level. And then this semester, all the extra rehearsals and everything, it's been pretty stressful, but that excitement level is still there.
It is a phenomenal experience. We have wonderful faculty, and our music department and program is just, it's one of a kind, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of.
It's definitely a culture shock.
It's quite daunting to think you'll actually stand on the same stage that, like, Leonard Bernstein and Tchaikovsky have stood on.
They say, you know, what do you do? I'm a student. You're like, oh, why are you here? I said, I'm playing in Carnegie Hall tomorrow. And they're like, wow. And I get a little applause,
oh,
like,
yeah,
in,
sure.
In love the street. It's really cool.
It's an amazing thing, and it's part of their education, which really gives it a dimension, a depth that it just wouldn't have otherwise.
We've got phenomenal students, and they have prepared. They've done everything that we have asked and more, and they're ready to play. So when you have that level of preparation, I think the what's left is just the fun part. So we expect a great performance tonight, and we're really looking forward to it.
For one thing, I want to be a performer myself, mm-hmm. so this is a great opportunity to be on the stage where so many mm-hmm. who have gone before, and so it's like a dream come true almost.
You heard a compilation of recordings from past performances by the Texas A&M University Commerce Chorale and Wind Ensemble. Those works, among several others, were featured during their Tuesday evening performance at Carnegie Hall in New York City. The voices were captured during a special broadcast earlier that day on KETR. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered. And remember, if you have a story idea that would be best told as part of our Friday feature, we'd love to hear from you. You can send your ideas to me, scott@ketr.org. That's scott@ketr.org. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. I want to thank my guests, Sandy Maddox and Jan Moberly with the Region 10 Education Service Center based in Richardson. And we received their perspective on the decision to delay the new STAR exam, counting toward 15% of some high school students' grade until next year. Region 10 serves 8 counties in the North and Northeast Texas region. Also, we hope you enjoyed our Friday feature, The Experience of a Lifetime, for A&M Commerce music students who performed at world-famous Carnegie Hall Tuesday night in New York City. We're back same time at 10 a.m. on Fridays, and our show re-airs 9 a.m. on Saturdays. And you can hear archives of the show at our website. We'll have it momentarily up at ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.